Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and I use the pronouns she and her, and it is a delight to see all of you here today. Each of you is welcome, whether you're here online, watching a recorded service, or here in the sanctuary this morning. Everybody's welcome, no matter who you are, no matter who you love. No matter how you express your gender, no matter how much money you make, whether you're sad or happy today, each and every one of you is welcome because we are each a beloved child of the universe, a beautiful fruit of life, and we matter. I have a couple of announcements. The first is that after service, there's coffee downstairs. And treats, and you can get to know people online. There's a coffee hour. The link is for a Zoom coffee hour, and it came in your order of service, so you can join that. I have a couple of announcements. One is we have new art on our walls, and it's by Penny Homer, who is somebody who has come is joining our congregation recently. So enjoy her work. A couple of other announcements. On January 21st, I'm going to be talking about the new changing from principles to values as a way to talk about Unitarian Universalism. And so we're going to be talking about that as a congregation after service on January 21st. And there's soup so you can eat and talk. And I will be preaching about it on that day. I'm also talking about it somewhat today as well. And after this service, there's a lot of people who want to stay and talk about services. This is a pretty good one to talk about. And so about 15 minutes after the service, I'm going to come back to the sanctuary with my coffee. And people who want to talk about what came up for them in the service, that would be a good time to do that. So you have a moment to greet each other. And during this greeting of each other, I want to try something new this morning. I want us all to try to say just hello to as many people as you can. We're not going to start conversations that you're going to continue on during coffee hour, okay? Say hello to as many people. Okay, go.
When hope is is hard to find. And I'll bring a song of love and a rose in the winter time.
There's seating up front if people are straggling in, and there are seats up here. So I would like to invite Paisley up to light our chalice this morning. Is Paisley here? Paisley. All right. We're going to have Brad light our chalice.
Also known as Paisley.
So Albert Schweitzer said that at times our own light goes out, but it is rekindled by the spark of another person. So we light this chalice for this morning for all the ways that our light has been lit by other people and all the ways that we have capacity to light other people's spark. Let us say our affirmation. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful and what is wondrous. Let us open our minds to learn what is true and what is mysterious. Let us open our hearts to love one another and our neighbors.
Good morning. My name is Brad Hewitt. Could you take me down a bit, Jim? I got a big mouth. Nobody knows that. My pronouns are he and him. Jim, would you take me down, please? Thank you. Pronouns are he and him, and I'm pleased as Punch to be your lay leader today. I'm not sure why Punch is so pleased, but clearly it's happy, so I'm pleased as Punch. I'm not sure what kind of Punch. I have a reading for you today from the Reverend Gretchen Haley. For this one moment, know only that you are loved, that you are safe and whole and loved. Know that you belong here, here among us, here upon the earth, in your body. However tired or broken your heart may be, whatever fear, disappointment, anger you carry. For this hour, know that you are not alone. Feel the presence of others surrounding you, breathing beside you, and with you. Discovering together the way our voices rise and fall together in harmony and hope. Claim here a resilient freedom. The choice for love, for light, to live with joy and gratitude, and praise as a form of resistance. Already we are organizing. Come, let us worship together. We'll sing Spirit of Life. It's words on the screen.
Spirit of Life, come unto me. Sing in my heart all the stirrings of compassion. Blow in the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving life the shape of justice. Roots hold me close, wings set me free. Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
So as we all came in the door today, we benefited from the giving of others, from those who sit in the foyer and greet new people and try to make sure we maintain connection or say hello to old friends and make sure that we have our orders of service. To the people who make sure you can hear what we're saying up here and see what's on the screen, who prepare words and try to ensure that we really have a memorable experience each Sunday. Those who provide music, those who keep the coffee flowing downstairs or the tea, and those who are ready to take care of the children who are here. Those who make sure the building is warm before we all even come here in the morning. We benefit from the giving of others each and every Sunday. And as we look at ways we can say thank you for that, part of that might be to be one of those people. If you have interest in anything I just said, follow up with me afterwards. We truly need many hands and hearts. Maybe you're one of those people who come here and you just love smiling and giving hugs or shaking hands on Sunday. We need you too. Maybe you're someone who's able to help us financially. We need you too. So as you ponder that, So as you ponder that this morning, will our host please come forward so that we can collect our morning offering? Do you do two baskets? Two baskets. Thank you for your gifts this morning of any kind. If you please join me in our affirmation of gratitude and giving.
Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that many of them are in the generosity of others.
We're just testing your memory on that one, so... Some of you passed. It's okay. We have a song now. I call them the Love Singers. They're the special music collective, but I like the Love Singers for today's song.
Hey, you guys, we're going to do a karaoke together. So all of us, we're going to have to try and stay out of the way of the screen. But we're going to need help from some younger people who like to drum and make noise. So would you guys like to come up and sit in the front row? We have some percussion drumming type stuff. Come on. It's okay. More. We need noise. That's awesome. Thanks for coming up. All you need is love, everybody. Here we go.
Take blue up, please.
Okay, come here. I can keep my mind and body safe and healthy. Love is taking care of me. I can give thanks for all I have and am able to share. Love is gratitude. Now, we're just having all kinds of text stuff today. I can express what's important to me. Love is creative. I can know that no one is perfect. Love is understanding. I can do my best to make things better when something is wrong. Love is effort. I can celebrate those I've loved before. Love is remembering. I can feel goodness in a kind word, a helping hand, or a shared smile. Love is tiny gestures. I can breathe in the air that the whole world shares and know that creatures are made from the very same stardust. Love is connection. When the clouds roll in for others and for me, I know now there is something I can do. I can let my heart lead the way. I am love. We are love. You are love. And with love, we weather the storm and light up the sky together. We will now sing our children to their classes. So you might have gathered this morning. Oh, wow, that's loud now. You may have gathered this morning that our service today is about love. And it's about the practices of love. And forgiving ourselves and each other is one of the foundational practices of love. So this morning we're going to participate in a musical reading that reminds us to begin again in love. And Dan is going to lead the singing part, and I will say the words that you will respond to with the one simple line, which we will practice with Betsy and Dan to begin.
We
forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
for remaining silent when a single voice would have made a difference.
We forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time that our fears made us rigid and inaccessible,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time we struck out in anger without just cause,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For each time our greed has blinded us to the needs of others,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For the selfishness that sets us apart and alone,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For falling short of the admonitions of the Spirit,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For losing sight of our unity,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
For those and for so many acts, both evident and subtle, which have fueled the illusion of separateness,
we forgive ourselves and each other. We begin again in love.
Let us take a moment. Life is full of so much joy and happiness and goodness. It's remarkable. Together here, we create a circle of celebration, deep enough to hold all the joys in our lives. Life is also full of pain and suffering and struggle. So together we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all that sorrow, pain in our lives. So we're just going to have a moment of reflection. And as the music begins, please come forward if you feel called to do so and place a stone in the water. The water represents our community of compassion. That bears all sorrows, and the community of celebration, which holds all joys. If you would like to say a word that expresses the joy or sorrow that you are placing a stone for today that's heavy on your heart or bright on your heart, you may use the microphone to do so. If you were not moved to do that and just want to do it in silence, that is also completely fine. So now we will take a moment of silence. For all the jars and sorrows that remain in our hearts. We will sing, you can stay seated, there is more love somewhere.
There is more love somewhere. There is more love. There is more joy somewhere. There is more joy somewhere. I'm gonna keep on till I find it. There is more joy somewhere.
Two readings for you this morning. First is by James Baldwin. The longer I live, the more deeply I learn that love, whether we call it friendship or family or romance, is the work of mirroring and magnifying each other's light. Gentle work, steadfast work, life-saving work in those moments when life and shame and sorrow occlude our own light from our view. But there is still a clear-eyed, loving person to beam it back. In our best moments, we are that person for another. And the next is by the Reverend Dr. David Breeden. Buildings speak. Not in voices of stone, but in the hum of conversation, of flesh and bone gathering, nearly mystical at times. Almost we sense mental chains shattering. Almost we hear birds wrenching free of their chains. And the walls long hidden in the corners of our minds, walls so defining, hold us fast. Until, together our voices rise, trust blooming, until there is a sky blue unending. Judgments wither like cut flowers then, and love, love is the ground on which we dance, singing of liberation.
Our theme this month is liberating love. The new proposed language to replace the principles places love at the center of our values and faith. The proposed language reads, "The Unitarian Universalist Association will actively engage its members in the transformation of the world through liberating love." It continues, "As Unitarian Universalists, we draw from our heritages of freedom, reason, hope, and courage, building on the foundation of love. Love is the power that holds us together and is the center of our shared values. We are accountable to one another for doing the work of our living our shared values through the spiritual discipline of love." So what does this mean? Love is such a messy word in English. We use the word to describe how we feel about romantic partners and how we feel about chocolate chip cookies. We use love to describe what we feel about children, parents, siblings, friends, lovers, and pets. In all these cases, when we say love, we mean that we feel a positive emotional connection. However, the nature of that connection, our felt sense of that relationship with that person, can feel very different, even though we use the exact same word to describe that varied group of emotions that mean positive emotional connection. When we add to the confusion by saying love when we talk about our favorite places, activities, and foods as well, it seems that what we generally mean when we say love is that we have a strong, positive regard for something. And we expect our listener to fill in and understand the difference between the kinds of love we feel for a partner or the kind of love we feel for our view of the gorge that we enjoy very much. So when the word love gets placed in the middle of a proposed new description of Unitarian Universalism, it can feel vague or confusing. The new statement claims that liberating love can transform the world and asks us to practice the spiritual discipline of love. We say love is the power that holds us, Unitarian Universalists, together. If we mean a strong positive regard as the meaning of love, if that's what we mean when we say the word, and when we hear that when we say liberating love or spiritual discipline of love, the statement becomes almost nonsensical. I mean, how can my strong positive feelings liberate you from the demons that haunt you? Or liberate an out-of-work single mom from the oppressions of racism, classism, and sexism? Or liberate the Palestinians? Well, they can't. The word love in the language about Unitarian Universalism is not talking about feelings. The word love isn't only messy because it describes a whole array of different positive feelings, but also because we use it to describe both emotions and actions. In American culture, most of us think of love as describing it as emotion. It's our default position. It turns out that 60 to 70% of all songs written are about romantic love. So, but the word love also describes behavior and attitude. It describes an approach to relationships. And that's the kind of love that we're talking about in the new language. And we actually all know this from experience. We know that when we are in relationships that include commitment, such as partners or children, that for the relationship to be successful, love has to be something we do. Most parents know that the love we have for our children does not, at all times, mean strong, positive regard. In fact, our feelings might be, from time to time, the exact opposite of positive regard. Love means, in the context of parenting, that we are all in for our child's well-being, no matter how we feel about our child in any given moment. For good enough parents, this is the goal, to raise children who do well, are resilient, and have the chance to flourish. Love in this situation is an attitude. It is a way of being and acting. It is not a feeling. It is a choice. It is a commitment. And this is the kind of love described in the new UU values language, an attitude, a way of being and acting. The Greeks called this kind of love agape. Agape is a love that is committed to the well-being of others outside your family and friends. It is the love described by James Baldwin in this morning's reading when he says, love is the work of mirroring and magnifying each other's light. Martin Luther King says agape is an understanding, creative, redeeming goodwill for all. C.S. Lewis defines it as a selfless love that is passionately committed to the well-being of others. Agape means recognizing that every person has inherent worth and dignity, and then acting like they do. It is behaving in ways that promote the well-being of all people involved in any situation, including yourself. This is the kind of love preached by Jesus, who told people to love their neighbors. It is the kind of love that Jesus practices throughout the Gospels. It is the kind of love he practiced when he refused to hurt those who hurt him. By dying the way he did, his message grew, spread, and survives 2,000 years later. And yes, many times in history, including in this moment, the practices and doctrines of Christianity have been twisted for the use of the powerful to conquer and control. But it is also true that many times in history, including in this moment, Jesus' core message to love has been used to create human well-being. Gandhi and Martin Luther King Jr. developed and grew the practice of nonviolence, the practice of actively working to transform injustice without hate or harm based on their understanding of Jesus' teachings. Nonviolence is one spiritual practice of love. So what are other actions of love? What are the practices of love? This morning's story was about the actions of love. Love is gentle, the girl told us, and offers many examples of actions of love. To comfort, to offer gratitude, to be creative, to be understanding. And that's what Martin Luther King said, creative and understanding. She also said effort, tiny gestures, connection. Many people offer different and very similar lists on what are the practices of love. MLK Jr. felt all of his work was a practice of love. Forgiveness of ourselves and others is a practice of love. The loving kindness meditation that we often do here is a practice that resets our intentions on the practice of love for ourselves and others. Bell Hooks, the feminist activist and writer, says in her book, All About Love, that the actions of love are care, affection, recognition, respect, commitment, trust, and open and honest communication. She believes that real love requires all of those things. She argues that many of us, including her for many decades of her life, believed that love is equal to care and affection. And while those things are absolutely lovely and so much needed by all of us, of course, she does not believe they are sufficient. You can really harm somebody who you have affection for and mostly care for. But with real love, you don't harm people. It is if the purpose of love is the other person's well-being and flourishing, more is needed than care and affection. To grow and flourish, we need to be known. We need to be known for our joys and our sorrows, for our passions and concerns, for our culture and our ways of being. Maybe not intimately known, but at least known generally. And we need to be respected. Our rights and our needs need to be respected. Our worth and dignity need to be respected. Fundamentally, acts of love are about seeing a person's truth and respecting that truth. And then it is a little more, because practices of love typically call us to respond to that person's truth with attention or care or presence or concern or commitment or trust. This can happen at a personal level between two people, and it can happen at a societal level. I don't need to know personally any people in war-torn places to know that they need safety and that that is their ultimate concern. And love is the practice of responding to that concern. I read part of an article in The Atlantic this week about how hard it is to raise children in the United States compared to other wealthy countries. And I had to stop reading because I got so upset over one of the examples. A single mother had worked at Walmart for 13 years on a single evening shift, and the store refused to move her to another shift. That meant she had to bring her son to work, her grade school son, where he slept in the staff room. In nearly every other wealthy country in the world, employers are required by law to work with parents to create schedules that accommodate children. Isn't that amazing? And for me, it's just cringy that our country does not offer parents that. What is more difficult for me, even than our country doesn't do that, is that those with the power at that Walmart did not act with love. By which I mean either they did not understand the needs of this mother and son, or if they did, they did not respect that need enough to respond to it in a meaningful way that would have made a difference in their lives. except, I guess, to let the child sleep in the staff room. It's also distressing to me that laws are required to make employers act with love, care, and concern. But it is true. Many laws that we create as a society are there to make sure that people do the right and decent thing, the kind and loving thing, because it seems like a lot of people really struggle to do that. So then the act of love becomes passing laws that make those acts of love a requirement, which is not exactly the same as love as a way to organize human relationships, but Martin Luther King used to talk about that we need the laws to get everybody on board, and then we can start maybe living from that deeper place. Valerie Kerr, a chic activist, feminist activist, calls the practices of love where we come to understand and respect each other as see no stranger, because it's so easy for us to see others as strangers. And so she advocates for practices where we try not to see strangers. We try to see people as people. For a very long time, I have used the word love to describe Unitarian Universalism. What's that, people ask me when I say I'm a Unitarian Universalist? Maybe that's happened to you. And I always start with, we are descendants from the radical left wing of the Protestant formation. And somehow this feels important to me. I don't know, like, why I can't get past it. And then they get this blank stare, and then I rush in with, our purpose is to grow love. We don't have specific beliefs. Our faith is about living our values. So putting love in the center of our values as Unitarian Universalists feels natural to me, and it feels true to me, because love in action is basically just saying, basically just acting as if each person has worth and dignity. And that is, this idea that each person has worth and dignity, been with us as a faith as long as Universalists have existed. It's foundational to their faith, and now ours. And it means that every person matters. Every person has worth and belongs. Every person should be treated with respect and dignity. And this principle is stated in our current 7 principles and in the new statement of values. Love means taking this principle seriously and treating ourselves and others with care and respect and concern. Sometimes when we think about practices of love or caring or justice, we think about other people, sort of the natural thing to do. But it's also about each of us. It's about our attitude toward ourselves. It's about loving ourselves. It is about knowing that we can respect ourselves, we can care for ourselves, and offer concerns and kindness. We can know what our passions are, what our quirkiness is, the places where we bump into those hard walls and can't get over or past, and offering care for that. And this is essential to the practice of love. When we cherish ourselves, recognize our passions and concerns, joys and sorrows, and hold that with gentleness and care, we can begin to learn to release ourselves from those stories about our own unworthiness because of what we did, what we've done or didn't do, or just because of the way we are, whatever it is our particular story and demons say to us. Can you imagine, actually, how much energy could be released into the world if we were not using it to beat ourselves up all the time? I think it'd be sort of amazing. Love, real love, committed to well-being and flourishing, I believe really does transform and liberate us. I've been reading through all the things that you've said in the visioning sessions we've been having, and more than one person said that Wolf was a safe place to be themselves. Actually, many people said that. And some people said that because of this, because of knowing that this was a safe, loving, caring place, that they could try new things that they always wanted to try, which kind of gives me goosebumps. Because this is what happens when we experience the love that sees and respects us and responds with care and concern. We feel safe enough to get creative and fully present to life. Because love does transform us, and it transforms other people, and it liberates us from ways of being and seeing that have made it hard to be fully present to life. By offering belonging and safety, practicing and receiving love helps us to grow into open-hearted, creative people. The moment that love liberates us from our ways of being that shuts us down to each other is described in the poem we heard this morning from Unitarian Universalist minister and humanist, the Reverend David Breeden. He wrote about this practice of being with others in a way where we're each learning each other's story and respecting each other. This is what he describes here. Almost we sense mental chains shattering. Almost we hear birds wrenching free from their cages, and the walls long hidden in corners of our minds, walls so defining, holds us fast until together our voices rise, trust blooming, until there is a sky blue, unending. Judgments wither like cut flowers then, and love is the ground on which we dance, singing of liberation. There is so much to say about love. I could probably come up here and talk about love every Sunday for years. But some things that are important that we would love to talk about are about how love creates power between people as they learn how to engage with each other's gifts and passions and wield that power that's been created between people for good. And how love doesn't just mean being nice and letting people get what they want even when it's harming us or making us miserable. It doesn't mean getting walked on. It does mean dealing with conflict and differing needs and wants creatively. And then there's all the stuff about the practices of loving strangers and those we dislike and those who have horrific points of view about other people and those who are radically different than we are. Or about how practicing love is really difficult because it requires so much vulnerability and humility. But still, people across millennia keep holding it up as the best ways for humans to be together. And it is a worthy goal, even though we do fail at it again and again. There is a Buddhist story where a monk is allowed to tour hell. To her surprise, the scrumptious food covers banquet tables in hell. But everyone is skin and bones and very weak. They moan with hunger. The problem is that each person must feed themselves with ridiculously long forks. They cannot get the food on their fork and into their mouths. So instead they starve while smelling the world's most delicious foods. "Do you wish to see heaven?" asked the monk's guide. The monk nodded, and moments later they were in heaven. And there were the same banquet tables spread with all the same delicious foods. But in heaven, people were happy and plump and joyful because they had learned to pick up those forks and feed each other with them. This vision of heaven to me is the promise of love here on earth. And I do believe that love is the center of our faith. Our current principles are statements either about practices of love or attitudes of love. They just don't say the word. But saying the word allows us to recognize its real power and open up more practices and attitudes of love. Because I think acting with love is what we are about at our very best. At our very best, congregations are about learning to act with love and using that power of love to help spark the lights in all of us and all the people in our communities. It's for us here at WOLF, that love we take into our families and into our communities, and the way we use that power to transform the world. Because that is what foundationally I think all of us want. We want to be cared for and have a chance to flourish, and we want everyone else to be cared for and have a chance to flourish. All we actually need is love. And so we're going to sing hymn 131, Love Will Guide Us.
Inside us will lead the way on the road from greed to giving. Love will guide us through the hard night. If you cannot sing like angels, if you cannot speak before thousands, you can give from deep within you. You can change the world with your love. Love will guide us, peace has tried us, hope inside us will lead the way.
Let us go into the world shining the light that is us, helping others shine in their own light, because all we really need is love. So we'd like the people in the front to turn around, and we will sing to each other, carry the flame.